August 3rd, 2022. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Murad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Islamic Climate for Business Success, lecturer W. Dean Muhammad. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.muradspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the ones that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. When I hear something coming out that does not sound decent for human beings, I reject it. If I don't find any support for it in the Quran, I reject it. I have read in the Muslim publication that the Jews and the Christians are kafirs, infidels. We sent our complaint to the countries of the organizations. We are working hard here to bring sense and respect to our religion as it is viewed by America, Americans. We want to appeal to them and show them the true picture of our religion. We have worked and have accomplished a lot. We have people now looking at this religion and appreciating it. We are living in a new time with a new circumstance. Allah says in the Quran, say, we have no contention with you people of the book. Our contention is with the idol worshipper. That is the teaching of the Quran, and it is the way of the Prophet. So when the government was established in Medina, the proclamation came that guaranteed the freedom and the rights of the Jews to go on practicing their religion the way they had before. The same was granted to the Christians. Since then, civilized Muslim leaders and nations have carried on that excellent tradition. Christians live in Muslim land. Jews live in Muslim land. There are long periods of productive life during the history of Muslim Spain. There in Spain were Jews and the Christians, and Muslims are living together and working together and prospering together under Muslim rule. America's vision of the destiny for this continent has been called divine destiny. They come here from Europe to realize the manifest destiny. So what inspired it, I believe, was passages of their Christian scripture and the wisdom of their great philosophers and teachers. And I also strongly suspect that they had studied the great life of prosperous Muslim Spain. It is a pity that their achievements were lost. It was lost because of the intolerance on the part of European nations and that were jealous. They were jealous to the extent that they fired up ignorance, prejudice to fuel the crusade. When I say it's not any criticism of Christianity, they were not living their Christianity. They were still in the grips of their ancestral savagery and ignorance. America has been influenced recently to see certain Muslims leaders and Muslim figures as monsters of a strange psychological makeup. I don't see the Palestinian armed forces as monsters. I see them as victims of monsters. In my opinion, these monsters were human before driven mad by inhuman treatment. Human beings do not take on a monstrous image until forced by circumstances beyond their control. Another lesson of out of history, Southern man versus Northern man. I have grown to look differently at the Southern white European American, man of the once cruel South. I have grown to look at that time and the circumstances to see also whites as victims. I have grown to lay blame on the Northern man and on the Southern man. As long as we have explosive sensitivity, most of us have, we are not going to make it in the land of plenty. The reason why we have troubling and crippling sensitivity is that we ourselves are victims of our plight. We should know that many were rejected of the Europeans who were established over in the South. Many were let out of prison if they would agree to work for landowners in the New World America. They were freed. Much of this abuse lost lots of the European settlers in the South. The better educated and the more wealthy settled mostly in the New England area. America grew upon the New England area, and the Southern states, the less victimized, were settled in the New England region. The victims of European, more horrible abuse settled in the South. So when we study their history, we see many whites were abused in the way that they assured us their African slaves. What they inflicted upon us was inflicted upon them in their European land by those of their race who were their masters. Many of them were unprepared to treat themselves or others as human beings. They were often themselves criminals and social rejects in the eyes of other whites. There were great minds amongst the Southerners, but their majority was victims of a horrifying past. I look at them now, and I have a different attitude. It is amazing that this mistreated lot of whites did as well as they did. Both are survivors returning our human nature goodness. A deeply scarred people, while yet sistering, should not have been given the charge over our race. Babies born to slavery was put in the custody of these victims of European cultures. The South is messy, was at the mercy of a master formed by the hands of its history as victims. Have you heard the story of the lost boy who was found in the woods? He lived and survived amongst animals. When they discovered him, he was behaving like an animal. He could not speak. It was the same for a child born into America's peculiar slavery. If you know the history of that infamous period, you will know it was forbidden for anyone to give a slave any literature. Slaves were not permitted to read a Bible. They were not permitted to have anything come to them of true history. Nothing was permitted to come to the slave except what would serve to keep the slave in submission animal conditions. Subhuman animal conditions. Now, knowing the circumstances which had a role in shaping the Southern man and knowing the circumstances which favored the Northern man, I have come to know now that the Northern man played the master against the slave and the slave against the master. So the Northern man did that for his own selfish exploits. I know how the Northern man won the Civil War. occupied his southern brother's land and then used blacks to reconstruction, to rub salt into his brother's wound by putting the slave in a position of authority. The northern man made the slave the soldier in command, and the white man of the south had to come to the freed slave to get permission for certain things. When the north occupied the south, the northern put members of our race in positions of authority over white. We may be fool enough to say that is what they deserve. But the white man of the North planned for the African American and for the white South. He knew it was not good for our future to put us over Southern whites, suffering the bitterness of defeat. The Southern white man was already saying, our own people have killed us, wounded us, dominated us, and occupied our land. The real reason for the Civil War was the freedom of the free enterprise system. The Northern knew that putting slaves over members would make any relationship for the free slave with former masters impossible. He knew that they would never be able to live together in the South in peace. The Northern powers ordered holders had to eliminate all risk of blacks and the whites ever uniting for a strong South. The Northern scheme was to get us ex-slaves up north for the labor hungering new plantations of Northern factories. Study the early history of America's factories. They presented bad health risks, working conditions in many early factories, gave us to sensual humiliation and hardship and brutal existence. More lives sometimes were lost in the factory situation than were lost on the southern plantation. But the slave only saw freedom. We have to grow with experience, and our sense have to become more sharpened with experiences. It is not too late to look back at those circumstances and extract from them the lesson we need for today. The lesson to never let the people who utilize you and dominated you and abuse you decide your future while you take it easy. We are going to study our social situation. We will then be better situated to study our political past. It doesn't make the scientist less human because he is not dealing with the master from his emotions. He still goes home and grabs his tender little baby and kisses it. He feels good and holds his child while watching television. He is no less human because he has divorced his stormy feeling from the problem at hand. And African Americans have to be able to do that. African Americans must mature to the point of having shared sensitivity. We should be cautious when we go into new areas. Don't go into the white man's neighborhood with no caution. That is not your neighborhood. Also, be cautious going into your own neighborhood. Be cautious to respect the residents of those neighborhoods and not be hurt by them. There are dangers in the world. You can't expect 100 years of so-called freedom marked all over the decades of lynching and terrorist Ku Klux Klan and Jim Crow laws to disappear for African Americans to drop our God. Be human in your neighborhood at home with your own and with outsiders of all nationalities. Be human and constituted to serve your own potential should the need present itself. corporate for the good of all. Our religion requires of us that we do not engage or join any movement or activity to promote and support something that is wrong. If we join a movement or become organized for something, we must be right ourselves. Allah says, cooperate with each other in the effort of righteousness, purity, and reverence. Allah also says that we are not allowed to join secret meetings and secret organizations unless it be to promote fairness between men. We can meet secretly if our intent is good and honorable, sincere and pure, and good for human beings at large. If we are meeting for the good of the human being at large, for honorable and upright and righteous purpose, then we can meet in secret. There may be some of us who think that we aren't supposed to do anything in secret. In this land of plenty, you had better do a whole lot in secret. But you must be well-meaning and do not have any purpose that is not honorable. As Allah says, nor do anything that you would be ashamed of if it was made known publicly. Do not mix into the charity or into what you spend, which is corrupt. Do not spend the dope money for the progress of society. Do not bring the money that you stole in Damascus. Don't give that which is where to be made public. You would be ashamed to identify yourself in it. Allah says, and do good, the Quran, do that which will be appreciated by a people who are refined and decent. Do good by others as Allah has been good by you. And do not spread corruption in the earth. In the view of such clear Quranic teachings, we see we are obligated as Muslims to present ourselves always in our Muslim form and then to strive for more and more excellence in terms of what we have our overall excellence of a Muslim. Your virtues, your moral side, your intelligence, your rational side, your social life, your political aspirations, and whatever the political interest or concern may be, are always supposed to be honorable and upright. Moreover, we ought to be respectful for good in the society, whether it be to the credit of Muslims or not. Muslims are to cooperate with those who share those honorable concerns. Cooperate with those who want this same excellence. We already have enough people against the decent public. Why invite more enemies? Our religion sensitizes us to grow in intelligence and to grow in virtue, to grow in appreciation for good common sense and decency. That is what we must be about. Our religion influences us to think before we leap, to plan before going out and getting ourselves involved in heavy activity. Do some planning. Putting it very simply, our religion teaches us to watch where we are going and to have light on the situation and circumstances at all times. Our Prophet Muhammad, it is said that the revelation was given to him so that he may bring us out of the oppressive darkness into the light. The world in darkness oppresses us when we cannot see where we are doing and cannot see the circumstances around us. We need light. Do not act impulsively. There are those who are talking about problems of race. They are saying, yes, racism is rising again. If racism wants to occupy themselves with racism, let us be involved productively. while they are occupying themselves with such, I am going to see if I can do a little better in the competition to get wealth. If they want to tie their hands up with racism, let them. In America, no one has to be a racist. I know what racism will do. It will tie you up, your brain and tight, that you will not be able to see your way around in your own house. So why be frightened by the same? Racism is growing and racism is again. You know they can turn the clock back. I know they cannot. The clock is not in the hands of the one racist anymore. There are new circumstances, influences, the time. So this is a different world globally. America to watch the global hour hand on the clock to know what time it is on the national timepiece. They have to be circumstances within and managing those outside of us, and that is a major point for the have-nots who are trying to make it in the land of plenty. We should take a look at our own condition out of a desire to be better situated internally and externally. Do more, complain, do more, and complain less. We do deserve the same good treatment that is given to any other. But what are we doing ourselves about our own condition? Are we questioning it? Are we trying to look for causes? That is the kind of sensitivity we need for making it in the land of plenty. Perfecting worship, perfect discipline. Very few African-American Christians have studied the logic or the wisdom of Christianity. The great majority haven't studied the natural basis important to Christianity. Also, it is important to know how religion views history. Many religious leaders have not done any study, and for them, Christianity is so superficial and shallow. Shallow, pardon me. Those without insight, without a spirit to meet the challenge of heavier concerns will tend to do lazy things, spook you, and not educate you. So we have to be aware that we are a people up from slavery, and more of us are to be equipped to make informed choices. I can read something to you and pass it on to you. My emphasis and my readings. It may be okay if I am your friend, for my influences will most likely be good for you. But if I am not your friend, then it is not good. The note that I wish to make is that a religion that gives you a man to worship in secret and seriously problematic. It is heavy psychology to take a slave right out of slavery and have him worship an image likeness of his former enslaver. I believe that lots of those blacks must have been just toming and lying, and in time it became acceptable and normal. Allah's law of justice does not allow double standards. What Allah has ordered for the prophet or the messenger, it has also ordered for the believers. There are no double standards. Allah didn't send the prophet to live by one code of behavior and another for their public. Allah didn't send prophets and to allow them to violate laws, do wrong, and obligate the people to do right. In the world of Allah, there is no moral conflict. There is moral consistency all the way. Allah says he is going to put in the earth a khalifa. A khalifa is someone with responsibility for himself and for the good. state of society, someone trusted with authority. Allah also says that he has given everyone something of his inspiration or something of his. We need to come into the spirit that Allah wants for us, to have something of Allah's spirit or of inspiration. Simply means that we have to be disposed internally to serve the will and the plan of Allah. We are to serve with our whole heart and soul and spirit. We want to serve the will and plans of our Creator. That is what Allah created in a Khalifa. He created one who was moved by spirit and nature to serve the will and plan of the Creator. If you have that, I can guarantee that you will be successful in the land of plenty. Succession in the land of plenty is more difficult than success otherwise. The richer, the more abundant, and the more affluent a society, the more complex, the more challenging it is to the morals of man. There is serious challenges on the spirit of man, the intelligence of man, and the nature of man. A highly industrialized commercial society challenges the mother nature and gives man his greatest battle. We cannot make it alone. We have to turn to the help that Allah gives us. If Allah reveals his words as a guidance for us in times gone by, when the world was not so complex and not so preplexed, then we must understand that now in the critical time and in the time of plenty, we have to rely even more strictly on guidance of Allah's Prophet Muhammad said, the Muslim, whoever he endeavors to do anything, he seeks to perfect it. We should have that quote on the wall of every classroom in the Muslim school that will motivate our children to aim for excellence and perfection. That is what it takes to make it in the land of plenty. The Muslim woman, he endures to do anything, he seeks to perfect it. The meaning, the spirit of the material. Mangling, the spirit of the material. The mismanagement of material and spiritual concerns is only possible for us if we have something directing us as a deciding authority in our lives. There has to be an authority in our life that decides authorities for everything else and is greater than everything else. If you are not acknowledging an authority in your life that you accept as having more authority than all else, then you are going to be a failure. Even the man or woman who looks at their life in a very simple way and are unconscious of what should be the authority of God in their life, they too must be guided by an authority. Perhaps they are not thinking about religion or church or mosque or synagogue. They may only be thinking of how to be successful in their business life as employers or as career persons. However, if they don't have an underwriting authority in their life, they are not going to be successful. Understand this. Allah in our religion does not close the door of material growth on people because they don't acknowledge him. Allah says in our holy book, the Quran, that the door to those things are open to all. Non-believers can make money, and Allah is not going to ask, did he take the Shahada? Is he a follower of Muhammad, my last prophet? If not, I'm not going to let him get rich. It is not the way of Allah to close the way of to let him get rich. It is not the way of Allah to close the way material gain on non-believers. Allah says that the door to those things are open to all. But Allah also says, but my special blessings are only for my devotees. Allah has blessings that are better, and you cannot get those without being devoted sincerely to Allah. In simple language, this means that you can have the material world, whether you respect Allah or not, but you will never be really happy or satisfied or pleased if you want to be at peace, satisfied and feeling good about yourself. Then you have to put your creator before and above the world. You have to value the goal of satisfying your creator more than values of your worldly ambitions. No matter how saintly we become in this religion, we should never take on spiritualism in the extreme. We should never take on spiritualism to the degree that we begin to fear material involvement. Muslims are never to be called spiritualists. Work in the material field should never be thought of as a threat to the life we choose for ourselves. The answer given simply to serve Allah, the God of both the spiritual and the material, Allah requires of us in our life as Muslims that we progress spiritually and in every other way, no matter how good I am spiritually, no matter how good I am morally, no matter how good I am intellectually, if I have no material progress in my life, that is a sin on me. You may ask, how is that? Brother Imam, Allah says, by what Allah has made available to you, seek the destiny, but don't forget your share of the world. Seek the end, the paradise, by utilizing what Allah has made available. That means that in other to receive the promised reward of the hereafter and to be in good shape with Allah, I have to use my moral nature, my moral force, my spiritual force, my intellect, my psychological force, and everything in my possession. I should be marshaling everything in my resources to make progress toward the hereafter, the destiny. Therefore, a person in our religion who is working for the hereafter will want to make a good showing in school. The person that will want to make a good showing in education, in science, in business, in culture, that person will want to make a good showing in every good involvement motivated by what Allah has told him. With the means given you by Allah, seek the destiny and do not forget your share of the world. Quran, work to keep a good daily balance account with Allah. The prayers and the peace be upon him, our prophet, said, live today as though today is going to be the end of you. It means that we should not say, oh, we have tomorrow. We have next year. We will take care of it later. Do not put off for tomorrow what you can do today. That Western expression says, quite well what the prophet said. Our prophet also says, live as though you are never going to die. Live as though you are never going to die. If I know I have a great many years in the future to go, I most likely will have some long distant plan. So this is the way the prophet has prepared us. We also know that the prophet has warned us against the pitfalls of material appetite and that we are to keep the balance We are not to let our morals or appetite hurt our intelligence or any other features in our nature, nor are we to let our spiritual life deny us the material world. We are not hermits. We do not withdraw from the world, no matter how holy we want to be. We never withdraw from the world and leave it to those who want dominance or corruption. Our religion is a complete life. Therefore, it is called comprehensive, requiring that we devote attention to all important matters for the natural human being in the human society, fulfilling lawful obligations. The successful management of the spiritual and material is easy. Give devotion to Allah and regard Allah above everything else. Being obedient to Allah is what will save us from management failure. If in our hearts we love Allah and want to please Him above all else, we are saved from extremism, whether it be materialism or spiritualism. Most important for Muslims is to see Allah as the God that makes, Allah as the God that acts of us, obedience to Him. Allah asks that we fulfill all lawful obligations, that we are to fulfill our obligation to our parents, to our family, to those who have assisted us, to those to whom we owe a debt, to the society we share life with. This awareness begins with what we owe yourself and goes out to your neighbor next door. Our religion is plain and complete in its instructions to us. Therefore, we should not be joining the blind heads for whom the traps of extremism overreacting are set. There are some who have left the idea of their religion and have left the motivation that should be in all Muslims. That motivation is first of all to recognize the overriding authority in Muslim life. That overriding authority is Allah, the one and the only creator of everything. If we are having trouble with the management of basic concerns in Chicago, in Los Angeles, in New York City, or in Detroit, it is because we are not established in that Muslim life. To be established in the Muslim life, we have to do more than just hear what it is to be a Muslim. We have to make a decision to be what we hear and the life form, Quran, and from our universal, the last prophet, Muhammad. To be a Muslim is more than praying together and saying, Assalamu alaikum. That is only a weak one-fifth of a Muslim life. Being a Muslim is to obey Allah and to obey the messenger. Begin by choosing to favor reading our holy book. Be sincere and we will come to feel bad when we miss prayers. We will grow inside to feel hurt when we fail to obey religious orders. Whoever feels no weight of Muslim concerns on him is not successful as a Muslim. But if it bothers you then that you'll miss your Maghrib after sunset or Fajr, before sunrise prayer, then you have the religious conscience, concerns, and spirit of the Muslim. If it bothers you that you are not eating halal meat, that you are eating meats of animals not slaughtered or prepared properly, then most likely you have the mind of a Muslim. If being in such bad situation bothers you, then you are in a good situation spiritually for the Muslim life. But if un-Islamic conditions on you do not bother you, we do not expect you to be successful as a Muslim. Allah has asked the Muslims, don't make intoxicants, tummy. Don't take intoxicants. And that means whether it is in the form of alcohol or drugs, we are never to drug our mind. If it takes our senses away or can affect us in that way, we are not to take it. It is the work of Satan himself. It is a very serious matter. Quran, Muslims are not to lie. If you call yourself Muslim, then you go on in the habit of lying, and it does not bother you, you are not there yet. Perhaps everyone will lie occasionally, but some of us do have a concern. We have to acknowledge Allah as the uppermost authority in our lives, as dictated authority in our lives. We need the authority to manage our... Do you know that the people who have the great difficulty in managing are the people who do not accept an overriding authority in their lives? One cannot succeed without rational guidance. We cannot be successful in our democracy without people who have intelligent discipline and have respect for the power of reason, who think logically and plain on the basis of what is sound for intelligence. We cannot be successful in competition with such people, trusting that the Spirit is going to save us and deliver us while we do nothing but wait. Unsuccessful Muslims are not in touch with the guidance. Those who are in touch with the essentials to Muslim guidance are successful. There is no chance that rightly informed, obedient Muslim will come to an end other than success. Allah says, and the believers must triumph. If we are sincere, faithful, and true to what Allah asks of us, we are the believers most triumphant. We have history of those who were fulfilled to what Allah asks of who are now being looked at again after centuries of darkness, being over their true picture. This time it is the West that is beginning to take a sober, intelligent look. The greatest threat is spiritual, not material. The biggest challenge for the human being is to manage the whole life. The greatest threat is spiritual. What you cannot see is more difficult to handle. Spiritual influences are too powerful for us to manage without Allah. We have to have Allah. Allah has given us a body, and that influences us. Influences of my own body will defeat me if I am not careful. We will see some people who have become so vain and so much in love with their own physical body that the body sends them into the psychologist. The exaggerated love of the body sends them to the grave. People are dying with a disease called anorexia, where they are oppressed with physical body looking good. Our religion serves us by protecting for us that relationship upon which all other relationships depend. It is the relationship with Allah. All other relationships depend upon that relationship. If your relationship with Allah is right, then you are not going to have any trouble with other relationships that you can't manage. Our whole life experience tells us that. Do you think that you will be admitted into paradise just upon saying you believe, as others before you? You underwent hardship and were tested. It is not right with Allah to take a certain group of people who say they love and believe in him and spare them difficulty and leave other people to have the problem? If we accept the same burden that our people have to accept and hold to Allah, we will deserve the great prize at the end of the road. This world of profiteering people does not respect any planet life. I am not talking about Christians or the church, nor am I pointing at any particular thing. It is the world itself that is under the influence of greed, and it is not just material greed. The oppressive know that in order to get us under them, they have to have material power and a dominance, but they are not materialistic. You can go to their house and they will be eating small portions of food. They will be spending money like it will not be around always. They will be in control of millions of billions of dollars. It is not that they are materialistic, but their eye material control over people, a control which some see as the throne of Allah's God. The worst greed is not material greed. The worst greed is dominance. It is the greed for power over others. Those with that greed will sell everything, their mothers, their babies, everything, to keep themselves in a superior position over others. Greed for power, for authority and dominance, and much more dangerous than the people who live for material things. The biggest materialist in the United States is the African American. Anyone who does not have enough money to pay the telephone bill for 3 consecutive months but will go out and get a car consisting $50,000 is materialistic. Anyone who complains about their race being behind and denied opportunities and put thousands of dollars in a leather fur coat or coat is materialistic. And contract the man who goes after material wealth and uses it to advance industries, so security and education is not essentially a materialist. You should not be labeling people materialistic just because they have great wealth. I hope I can correct this now. For I have a plan to get us into big money. I hope to see this correction, at least in my circle of associates. I don't want you looking at me and calling me materialistic. Allah says, and my devotee servant shall inherit the earth. Don't you want that? I do. I want to inherit a piece of the earth with gold and diamonds and oil so we can manage it. If we always keep Allah first and highest over us. My mother and father told me to be decent, not to lie, not to steal, not to go around with bad company. My mother speaking for her husband and for herself told me not to smoke and not to drink. And I feel so good to say today I have obeyed them. Allah does not charge us with what we do in ignorance without knowledge. Allah charges us only for what we do with knowledge. As long as the heart is sincere and truthful, Allah will stay with us and deliver us from a burden of confusion, ignorance, and failure. We have to manage our responsibilities in order to be successful. Allah has given us the Quran and the life of the Prophet, and the Prophet has demonstrated to us the responsibility that we all must accept. Whoever is qualified in our company, the charge is going to be made against them if they don't get done. If one person does not do what is needed, Then the next one qualifies you since the burden of responsibility in whoever is qualified to guard the interests. We do our sunnah prayer. To some people, it only means doing what the prophet did. That is beautiful to me also, for I love doing what the prophet did and feel obligated. However, the real beauty is the prophet did them in addition to the congregational prayers. The real beauty is in the protection against despotic rule. The prophet demonstrated that every sane and able individual Muslim must be responsible for leading him or herself. The same prayer that the imam is taught, all of us are taught. If we have people coming here for prayer and the imam cannot be found, any one male who knows the prayer can be the imam. So this is a religion that obligates its public to accept responsibility individually and to qualify themselves to the greatest degree. The responsibility is on us all. That is democracy and the religion of Islam. Islam, a participated democracy. So this is a democracy, a democratic religion, pardon me. It invites to the most advanced democratic ideas. I can think of one other that is more democratic, a democracy in my view of what is democracy. Islam is to bring us to a participatory democracy where we are not satisfied only to have representatives. Islam is the servant for every man and woman, no matter where they are in the scale of importance, or to have access to all opportunities, providing the person qualified. They should not leave anything to their representatives. If they can qualify, they too should accept to be responsible and seek answer needs. They should be representing in discussion of policy. Now, we know we have a long way to go yet, but this is the direction. We are moving to where people in the general public will be responsible more and more for the life of this country, not only through their representatives, but also by their direct influence and contribution. Muslim, don't you know that it is already granted in Islam where we are trying to get there, but that responsibility is already ours in this religion? In the time of Prophet Muhammad, he, the prophet, made the people aware of their individual responsibility, and if they saw something wrong, they knew that the individual had the power to speak out and give guidance from the Quran and from the prophet to correct matters right on the spot. The imam will be leading the prayer, and anyone in the group who knows that the imam just made a mistake can call his attention to it by reciting correctly. That tells us and tells the imam that he has made a mistake and he has to correct it. What other religion holds responsible the people in the congregation, the authority, the individual of the congregation to correct the preacher should be by in error? We have been taught that when Allah created everything, he created it perfectly to serve our best conditions and opportunities. We call in paradise. We call it paradise. The real danger is misconception, the misconceived purpose. therein lies the danger. There is a pig, an animal that Allah says we are not to eat. And therefore, we cannot raise the pig for somebody else to eat. But Allah created that animal. If you leave it out of you to its purpose, it is good. It is a good pig. It is only a bad pig when you start eating it or selling it to someone else for food consumption. Once in our community history, we made the pig more important to our health than Allah. There was a lot of former Nation of Islam followers who had forgotten about Allah, but the pig came in conversation. They were prepared. For it. Man, I would never touch that any pig. How in the world can anyone eat pork? How in the world could the brothers eat pork, knowing all the trichinosis and germs in that naked pig worm? I can do almost anything, man, but I don't think I could ever eat that filthy pig. That would be someone who could not say, how in the world could anyone stop believing in Allah? The discipline that we are given in Islam for our own life are the discipline that we need for success. That is, no matter what the thing is we are discussing or thinking about, if we strive to please our Lord, Creator, then we are assured success. I don't care what you want to go into. You are assured success. If you want to go into business, if you want to go into religious works or dawah, propagation work, if you want to be in education, if you want to be in medicine, you are assured success. It is not always the rich person who is successful. Sometimes his wealth destroys his family. Sometimes his wealth destroys him. Sometimes his wealth lends him in jail. Sometimes his wealth gets him killed. So the real success is to be pleased. If I get all of the money in the world and I am in hell mentally, I, in my soul, am not successful. There was no way to guarantee you are going to be rich. The guarantee is that you are going to be pleased. With that rule, there will always be more from the God-fearing groups succeeding in business, wealth with education, does not always mean success. You can get all of the knowledge there is and still be needing a psychiatrist every day. Don't think any one thing is the answer other than the desire to please Allah. Everything else without obedience is not the answer. I remember a time in my life when I didn't have Prophet Muhammad. I didn't have the Quran. I didn't even have the right idea of Allah. I am speaking of the idea in the Nation of Islam. But I had faith in Allah. I had a belief that there is God. And I knew I had to obey God. And if I expected to be successful, I knew that he would judge me. As it should be clear by now, the rule of discipline is very important. There is a particular passage from the Quran that ties in business with the hope for success. It puts business into a focus with the hope for success. The passage says, when we are going away from Allah to the Dawah for success, that is the way I am commenting on it, because this is the way I am understanding it. O you who believe, shall I turn you on to a business deal, will save you from a punishing affliction. Believe in Allah and in his messenger, and strive in Allah's path with your precious possessions, your wealth, and with your own soul, your own selves. That is best for you if you only knew. That is what God says in the Quran. Salakallahu Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Ben. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m., inshallah. It only means that if it please God. We thank New Africa Excellent Mirage Speaks for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, As-salam alaykum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.